Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chaf Beis. We are holding at the very beginning of Daf Chaf Beis, the new parak, the second parak of Maseches Yuma. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously, Lezecha Nishmas, Nachman Daniel Ben Aryeh Tzvi Morris, Zichrona Levracha, Dani Morris, who is learning Daf Yomi amongst all of his other siddurim at Yeshivat Shalavim. Before he was niftel last week, and his father Aryeh is a regular participant of our Daf Yomi Shir, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also by Moshe Han and Zechusa Refuah Shleima for Nechama Bas Leah, Shishav Refuah Shleima Besoch, Shar Chalei Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today, the entire Amud Aleph is going to discuss how we got to the point where they had to draw lots in order to do the Trumas Hadeshen, because the Mishnah is going to describe the drawing, how they determined what to, who got to do the Trumas Hadeshen, and it apparently changed at least once, and the Gemara is going to say twice throughout history as to how they determined who got to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So that Seder HaDevarim is going to be described on Amud Aleph. On Amud Beis, we're going to talk a little bit about Shaul HaMelech, and we're going to talk about the Isser of counting Jewish people, and particularly when David HaMelech seemed to have violated this Isser, and how Shaul HaMelech did it twice in a proper way, in a halachically appropriate way of counting the Jewish people. So let's begin. Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph at the top. So the Mishnah is going to discuss, well, this entire parable really is going to discuss the halachos relating to not Yom Kippur, but to the daily avodos that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not really about unique to Yom Kippur. In fact, we're going to talk about drawing lots to do some of these avodos. So the Baal HaMaor says, not only is this perek not really about Yom Kippur in particular, it's not even true of Yom Kippur. Whatever we're learning in this perek didn't happen on Yom Kippur, because in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did everything. So there was no need to draw lots when it comes to Yom Kippur. And therefore, says the Baal HaMaor, that when you look in some of the piyutim that you have in the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where it describes the drawing of lots for these kinds of things, tohu biyadam, it was a mistake. Those piyutim are all written in error because there is no drawing of lots for these things. The Ramban in the Milchamas Hashem says he's not so sure about that. He says the Bali piyutim included this, and these were very great people. These were not simple people. Furthermore, why would this parak be in Maseches Yuma if it's not even true of Yom HaKippurim? How could you have the parak in Maseches Yuma? And and furthermore, how could the Tanaim learn this parak stam and not say that it's only about other days and it's not about Yom HaKippurim? And therefore, says the Ramban, that even though Yom HaKippurim, even on Yom HaKippurim, there would be matil these four garalos that we mention in throughout the course of this parak, because some of these avodos that there were matil garalos on, the Kohen Gadol did not do them himself on Yom Kippur. Other Kohanim did them because they're not considered part of the Avodos Hayom of Yom HaKippurim. And Agav, those Avodos, we describe all of the Garolos that they would do throughout the year. So at least some of these Garolos, in fact, did happen on Yom HaKippurim, says the Ramban. And since some of them did, we describe the Garolos for all of the Avodos. Yeah, that's the question. When we say that the Avodos Hayom are the Kohen Gadol, is it only the Avodos that are unique to Yom HaKippurim? Or do we say, no, the avodos that happen each and every day are different on Yom Kippur than they are each and every day, and therefore the Kohen Gadol has to be the one that's doing them on Yom HaKippurim? In the Cheshek Shlomo, he writes that according to the Baal HaMaor, why is this taka mentioned in Maseches Yuma? He says, it's Agav, the end of the last parak, where we said, B'chol Yom Tomres HaMizbeach B'kriyas HaGever. So we already mentioned Trumas Hadeshen in the last parak, so now we're going to talk about Trumas Hadeshen in general, and how they determined who got to do Trumas Hadeshen. And once we mentioned that, that's Bipayas, so we mentioned everything else in this parak that's also done Bipayas. So at the end of the last parak, we mentioned the Trumas Deshen. So now, says the Mishnah, Barishona, Kol Sherotz Litro Mes HaMizbeach, whoever wanted to take the Deshen off of the Mizbeach, Torei would go and do it. It was first come, first serve. Whoever got there to do it would be the one to be able to do this Avodah. Bizman Shein Merubin, but once they saw that there was a lot of interest, Ruts involved in Bakevesh. People would run up the ramp in order to go do the Avodah, and Kol HaKodim Es Chavero, Ba'ar Ba'amo Zacha, and whoever got to the four four amos first. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly which four amos, but running up the ramp, you know, it's not an easy race. It's a 32 amma long ramp, and it's a sprint, and it's up. You ever run on the treadmill with it on an incline, right? It's uphill, so it's not so pashut. So whichever Kohen got there first, he's the one that got to do the Truma Sedashin Vim. Hayushnei and Shavin, and what if it was a tie? Two people tied to the finish line. So Muna Omerlan, the person who's in charge of the Korolos, would say to the Kohanim that are there, Hitzbiyu, stick out a finger, and the Kohanim would stand in a circle, and the Mamuna would take the hat off of the Mitznefes, off of one of the Kohanim, and he would say a number that's way bigger than the number of Kohanim that were in the circle, and then he would start counting the fingers that people had stuck out, and he would keep going around and around until he landed at the predetermined number that he was looking for. Now, L'chora, Pashtus, as it sounds like, the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos and Chaf Hayamid Aleph, that he stood there the whole time as they were doing this. The Kohen, whose Mitznefes they took off, stood there without his Mitznefes, because the Rabbeinu Tam writes, they were not Mephayis in the Azara itself, because it would be a Gnai to stand in the Azara without a Mitznefes. So Pashtus says he stood there the whole time without his hat on. However, the Rambam in Tmidim Musaf and Parag Dalet Halacha Aleph writes, V'amamuna notal Mitznefes me'al rosho sholechel me'en u'machzira. Sounds like he just took the Mitznefes off to indicate which guy he's starting with, but then a machzira. Then they put it back on. Just the Netilas of Mitznefes was in order to know which person they're starting with. But we said then wherever the number finished, that's the one that was chosen to do the Truma Sedashin. So Rashi writes that when two people would tie in the race to the top of the Mizbeach, they would get all the Kohanim back and do this whole process. Meaning it wasn't just that they would determine between those two and they would say, okay, you know, odds and evens, stick out fingers or something like that, or we'll count when you stick out fingers. It was they would get all the Kohanim back, anyone who was even in the race, even the people who lagged all the way in the back, who lagged behind, and they would do this all over again. So Tos Yantuf explains that since the Goral was done by counting its ba'us, it wasn't done with odds and evens, with what, you know, it was done by counting fingers. So with two Kohanim, it's a joke. You know, if you say an even number, you know it's going to be, you say an odd number, you know it's going to be. So they can't just do it. It's just a practical matter that really it should have only been those two Kohanim who were involved, but how could you make it with only those two Kohanim? The whole thing is not going to work out. So in Lechem Shemayim, he says, you don't need to say that reason. He says, the rule is by every Goral that if you don't have a clear hachra in the Goral, then everyone goes back to the beginning. There's a tshuva in the Chavis Yari like this, that if a Goral was done, that assume a Goral is min hashemayim. So if there was anything unfair or not that didn't work out as far as the Goral is concerned, you redo everything. I mean, let's say someone cheated in the Goral and he lost, you know, even though he cheated in the Goral. So you do the Goral over again anyway, because the Chavis Yari writes, because the whole thing is min hashemayim, and it assumes that it's being done fairly. So that's how some of the Achronim explain, because it may not only have been two Kohanim that tie to the top, to the finish line. It could have been three, four, five Kohanim. And then you would have been able to be Matzbiya. You would have been able to stick out the Etzbos. But still, if it didn't determine a winner, so we do a Goral and everyone is back in the picture again. So Mayin Motzi, and what would they be Motzi? Achas or Shtayim, either one or two fingers. The Gemara is going to wonder in tomorrow's daf that if you could stick out shtei etzbos, why do you have to tell me you could stick out one etzba? So the Gemara explains that we're talking about two different people. A person, we could have one person stick out one finger and another person stick out two fingers, but either way, they only count as one, meaning obviously everyone would stick out two fingers if it doubles your chances of winning. No, but it only counts as one. It's just a way, you know, to make sure that your finger doesn't get missed. So if you stick out two at a time, so it's thicker. If you have very skinny fingers, you're afraid that someone's going to miss them, so you can stick out two to be noticed. So achas u'shtayim ve'in motzi'in agodol b'mikdash, and they don't stick out the agodol, they don't stick out the thumb in the mikdash. And the reason is because there are ramayim that when they would stand for the numbers, the thumb could be very far apart from other fingers and may get counted twice, and the mumun is not going to realize they're from two different people because he's quickly going around the circle counting the numbers. So we want to make sure that the two fingers that you stick out are in close proximity to each other. So now the Gemara brings a story that happened when they used to have these foot races up the ramp, and because of that they got rid of the idea of these foot races. One time two people tied, they were running up the ramp, V'dachav echad mehen eschavero. And one of them shoved the other one off of the ramp. V'nafal v'nishpura raglo. And he fell and he broke his leg. Now in the Avos Rabbi Nassan, it tells us that lo nizak adam b'Yerushalayim e'olam. No one ever got hurt in Yerushalayim. So the Achronim point out, yeah, no one ever got hurt naturally in Yerushalayim. But if someone pushed somebody else, so that's going to cause him to get hurt. V'kivin sharo bezin shaban li desakana. So Bezin saw that this became too competitive. So iskinu shalayu tarminas ha-mizbech ela b'payis. They didn't want it to become dangerous. So instead they decided, you know what? A raffle is much less dangerous. A payis is much less dangerous. Arba payasos ha-yisham. There are four payasos in the Beis HaMikdash. Four times each day that they would gather together to determine who's going to do the avoda based on a payis. V'zeh ha-payis ha-rishon. What we just determined with the Trumas Neshan, that's the payis ha-rishon. So it says Gemara v'yimei kara my time alota kinu l'rabanan payisa. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, why didn't they think of that in the first place? Meaning, why? What were they thinking? That whoever's going to go and get there first, there are a lot of Kohanim. There are probably going to be a lot of people interested. It would seem much more logical to do a payis. So says Gemara, may Karasavar, they originally thought no one would be interested. Kima davodas laili, hilo chashivalu. It's not really an avodas yom, it's an avodas laila that the Kohanim aren't going to value an avodas laila, velo asu. So no one's going to come. But kima dechazu dekaasu, but they saw the people who were interested, vasu de sakana, so interested that it got competitive and it became dangerous, so tekina la paisa. So then they determined that they had to have a payis. So frak the Gemara, really? In avodas laila, nobody's going to be interested in? Vaha evarim upadarim, what about the burning of the evarim and the chalavim of the carbon, tamin on the mizbech, tavodas laila, that's also done, that's kosher to be done all night, vitekina la rabban paisa, and we're going to see that there is a payis for such a thing. So apparently, even when it comes to an avodas laila, it's, there's a payis, says Gemara, no, sof avodas dimamihi. That's really just the ending of the avodas hayom, of the carbon tamid. So that the Kohanim valued greatly, because that's done toward the end of the day, and it's kosher to be done through the night. But it's really the end of the avodas carbon tamid, which is through the day. So that we always knew the whole time that the Kohanim were going to value that a great deal. So frak the Gemara, hainami tchilas avodas dimamihi. But the Trumas Zeshi, you can say the same thing. It's the beginning of the avodas hayom. How do I know it's the beginning of the avodas hayom? Damar Rabbi Yochanan, kiddush yadav l'shumas sedashen l'machrein tzarich l'kaddish. That if a kohen washes his hands to do the shumas sedashen, he does not need to be mekaddish yadav again in order to do the other avodas in the shakvar kiddush mitchilas avoda, because he was already mekaddish mitchilas avoda. So tchilas avoda is the shumas sedashen. So says Gemara Ema, no, you have to explain shakvar kiddush mitchilas le'avoda, that he was already mekaddish for the sake of avoda of shumas sedashen. That even though it's an avodas laila, since it's so close to the avodas hayom and the gap of the space of time in between the Trumas Hadeshen and the actual avodas yom is so small, that's why he doesn't have to do it again. But not because the Trumas Hadeshen is considered avodas yom or the beginning of avodas yom. The reason he doesn't have to wash his hands again is it just happens to be that it's in very close proximity to the avodas hayom, but not that it itself is considered avodas hayom. So he had one explanation of why it is that they were not misaking a girl for the Trumas Hadeshen, and that was they thought initially they weren't misaking a girl because they thought nobody would be interested because it's avodas laila. Ikeda Amri, the second answer as to why we thought that it didn't make sense to make a goral for the Trumas Hadeshen, Meikara Savar, Kivan Dika Onashena, Lo Asu. Not that nobody would be interested, but it's very hard to motivate yourself to get out of bed. And this is done very, very early in the morning. So they thought no one's going to be coming. That the Trumas Hadeshen is done in those moments after the snooze button was hit, before the alarm sounds the second time. It wasn't done at a time when people are eager to get out of bed. So Kivan Dchazu Kasu, the but then they were impressed. They saw that people were coming with alacrity or were getting out of bed and coming to do the Satakinu L'Rabban Paisa. That's why they had to do a Pais. So says Gemara, why is there Onas Shena by the Trumas Hadeshen because it's so early and not by the burning of the Evarim Upadarim? That happens all night. That's very late at night. Why isn't there Onas Shena when people are up so late at night? For Evarim Upadarim, Dika Onas Shena, Tekinu L'Rabban Paisa. The Evarim Upadarim, there's Onas Shena, and the Rabban were Besakin Pious, and they assumed all along that people would be interested. They never had a Hava Amina, that nobody's going to come because they're too tired to come. So it says Gemara, "Shiny migdam yimekam," that this is just this is the way people work. That to stay up late is easier for people than to wake up early. That when it comes to waking up early, that generally involves a greater sense of mesiras nefesh. Staying up late is much easier for people if they have what to stay up late for. Tosfos raises the question: what do you mean stay up late? The Haktaras Evarim of the Tamid of Shel Ben Arba'im is kasher b'yom, so you don't have to do it at night. It just happens to be. It's also kasher b'layla. So what onus Shena? Someone, of course, is going to volunteer and he'll do it during the daytime. So Tosfos suggests that since the maktir had to stay up all night to make sure that it burnt really well. I mean, yeah, b'yom you could put it on the mizbech, but then you got to stay there and make sure, because we have all these halachas we discuss. What if it flies off the mizbech before chatzos, after chatzos? Is it totally burnt? Someone's got to be there to watch it. So it's an all-night job. So it is something that's going to keep a person up all night. And that's why, because it's something that's going to keep a person up all night, that's why it's something that that the Gemara thought might have onas shena involved with it. So that's why the Gemara says it doesn't have onas shena. So some nafkaminas la'alacha about this idea that it's easier for people to stay up late than it is for people to wake up early in the morning. The some of the acharim suggest that's why the minig is to say slichos early in the morning. That many have the practice, even though really probably al pi halacha, even it's probably best to say slichos very early in the morning, like the last little bit of the night, because that expresses a greater sense of mesiras nefesh. That's the whole point. So what do people do with slichos? They'll have the 8 p.m. minyan, or 9 p.m. minyan. So that's all, the whole point is that it's supposed to express a certain amount of mesiras nefesh. So all the poskim are very and the mekubalim also are very against the idea of doing it in the early parts of the evening, because that's easy. Anyone go to an 8 p.m. 9 p.m. It's supposed to be inconvenient. It's supposed to be a little bit difficult to say the slichos. Just be grateful you're not a Sephardi, and you only have a couple of weeks of it. But it's supposed to be a challenge. If you're not a Sephardi, if you're a Sephardi, be grateful you are a Sephardi, and you have the opportunity to. So the another nafkamina la'alacha. There's a tshuva in the Torah l'shma. It doesn't come up so much, but it's a tshuva that was asked in the Torah l'shma in some Shinim Ches about Reuven and Shimon that were hired to learn for a full monthly Ilui Nishmas a certain person, to make sure between the two of them that there was learning going on 24 hours. And the Tanai that they had was that at the beginning of the night they would learn together, and then they would split the rest of the night. That Reuven would learn the first half of the night and Shimon would learn the second half of the night. So one time, it happened that that one of them couldn't make his slot. So Shimon said to Reuven that I'll learn your slot tonight, and then you'll learn my slot because I have something else going on. So it's the same amount of hours anyway. And Reuven said, I'm not interested in learning your slot. I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person. I don't want to learn your slot. So we said, it's Midas Sodom. It's the same amount of hours. Why aren't you learning? So says the Torah L'Shma, it's not Midas Sodom. That it's easier to be a night person than it is to be a morning person. Some people have a difficult time getting out of bed. I don't know. I was always a morning person. Nighttime, my brain shuts down. But I guess there are different people. But for most people, it's easier to be a night person than it is to be a morning person. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, Vaita, that there were that we said that the story happened. They were both running up the ramp, and it was a tie, and one of them shoved the other one off the ramp, and it caused him to break his leg. So was the takana in order to do the payasos for the Trumas Dashan because of this, because of that story that someone shoved the other guy off the ramp? Takana lahaygi savai. No, the takana was because of something else. Titania, the Brisa tells us a different a series of developments. Misha zacha b'Trumas Hadashan, zacha b'sidur maracha. That originally that they made a rule that whoever gets the Trumas Hadashan also gets to be mesadda the maracha of the eitzim on the mizbech. And also gets to put the two blocks of wood on the maracha. So since originally, before they were misakein a pious on the Trumas Deshen, they already had one kohen being doing all of this, being turning the deshen, being misad in the maracha, putting the shnei gzirim. So he was doing a lot of chashva avodos. So even before this maisa that the Mishnah mentioned, the chametz be misakein a pious, because it was a very chashva thing. It wasn't just the Trumas of Hashem. He got a lot of things out of it, so it was a very chashuva thing. So Ravashi, says, no, the Seder Dvarim was as follows. Shtei takonos havu. There were two takonos. Mei ikara savar lo asu. Initially, the Chacham thought no one is going to want to come to do the Trumas of Hashem. Because it's not an avodah chashuva, so they were not yet misake in a pious because they thought no one's going to come. Kivin dechazu dekasu. But once they saw that people were interested, in fact, so interested that they would fight over it, so tukin la paisa. Then they made a pious. Now, even if you come early, you're not guaranteed that you're going to be. Even if you're the first one there, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get the spot because it's going to be a raid. It's going to be a pious. Kivin tukin la paisa lo asu. Now, once it was a pious, you know there are always those people that say, "I've never won a raffle in my life." Every time when I was a kid, you know, they pull out the numbers. It was never mine. I never win anything. So I'm not going to come. Samri mi emar de misramilon. Who says I'm going to win? It's not worth my time. But hader takinu luhu misha zach b'shem zedashin yizka b'sidim arach b'shem gzireitzim kiech din esiv in the faisu. But then they saw that then they decided to add some more benefits to it, meaning a win is a big win. Now if you win, you don't only get the shem zedashin, you get to do the sedim arach and the shem gzireitzim. So therefore, people thought, okay, I don't normally win raffles, but for such a raffle, it's probably worth it to come, and therefore they had to do a pious. You have such things like this that sometimes you have because a person is doing something that maybe people are not so eager to do. So we throw in something else. We give something else for the person to do. That's how some of the achronim understand that the chazan for slichos davens all the other tefillos of the day. That people aren't always so interested in leaving the slichos. The slichos are very hard words, and it used to be not everyone had it in front of them printed out. So you have to actually say it all out loud, so you have to embarrass yourself breaking your teeth over it, and it was not so easy to do. So they said, okay, you get to daven shachris also. Then you get to you ask Kabbalah, and they'll tell you people are not so eager to do that either. But that's a cover. Or if you read the Haftorah, you're willing to read the Haftorah, you'll get maftir. You'll get the aliyah of maftir. That's why during COVID, when everyone was when we were doing just the same guy was getting seven aliyos, we skipped the maftir because there's no point in having him get a maftir in order to get the Haftorah. He anyway got all the aliyos, so it didn't make sense to do that. But you have like that sometimes. You have to sweeten the pot a little bit in order to get people to do certain things that otherwise would have been undesirable to them. Ubizman Shein Rubin, and we said when there were too many people, they were going up the ramp, so whoever got to the four amos first was considered the winner of the race. Certainly, it doesn't mean the four amos that were closest to the beginning of the ramp, meaning that we're not even talking about running up the ramp; it's running toward the ramp, because it says that they were ratzin va'olin bekevish, that they actually went on the ramp. And kamaisa namilo, it also clearly doesn't mean the first four amos of the ramp closest to the ground, because ratzin va'olin bekevish tanan, that they actually ran up the ramp, and only after that it says whoever got within the four amos. So they were ola on the kevesh, and they were not yet within the first four amos. So obviously it's somewhere later up on the ramp. It can't be in the middle of the ramp, because how do you draw the line? Where is it? So it's clear that the four amos that we're talking about are the last four amos up by the mizbech. But even that's not so clear what that means. Do we look at these four amos, counting the Ami Yisod and Ami Soviv, or Dilma Bar may Ami Yisod Ami Soviv, or maybe it's excluding the Ami Soviv Ami Yisod, meaning the ramp of the Mizbeach went over the first two Amos in the Mizbeach as well, because the Mizbeach started with a base of 32 by 32, but then went in by the Yisod, and then went up another five Amos, and in another Amos again, and the ramp went all the way to the top, so the top of the ramp was two Amos into the Mizbeach. So when we're talking about the last four Amos, are we talking about four Amos from the very top of the ramp, or four Amos from where the ramp first overlaps the Mizbeach, which itself is two amos away from the top of the ramp? So that was the Shaila. So Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. So normally you have a Teku, you know, when it's a Shaila in Halacha, we try to resolve it. We try to paskin the Halacha, but it's unnecessary when it's a matter that relates to the Mikdash. Then we could taka say, Tishbi Atari Tkushios Vibayos, and we'll deal with it when it comes. So as Machlokas Rishonim, in general, what do you do with with a teku? Do you treat a teku like a suffik and you say if it's a din daraisa, suffik l'chumra, if it's a din darabana, suffik l'kula, or do you say no, teku always means l'chumra, but over here there's no chumra, there's no kula, right? It's just a question of what they did. But the Meiri writes, I don't know how he knows this, but the Meiri says it has to be that it's the last four amos till the top. He says, I know it's a teku, but more note to say that it's got to be the last four amos before the top. Okay, so and then we said if they both were tied to the finish line, hamuna amalemetzviu. So the mamuna would say to stick out their fingers so you can count them. So tana hotziu etzba oseichem leminyan. Hitzviu means stick out your fingers so that they may be counted. So v'nimninu l'detu. Why do you have to count their fingers? Why can't you count the people? That you see that like Rabbi Yitzchak is correct that you're not allowed to count the Jewish people even for the sake of a mitzvah. This is for the sake of a mitzvah. It's for the sake of avodah and the Beis Hamikdash. How do I know that? Because when Shaul HaMelech was going out to fight with Nachash HaAmoni and he counted the Bnei Yisrael prior to the war, the pasuk says ve'ivkadeim bebazek, and bazek is the lashon of broken pieces of pottery. So how did he count them? By having everyone give a little piece of pottery and then he counted the pieces of pottery. Why does he have to do that? Why does he? It was for dvar mitzvah. It was for melchemes mitzvah. Why can't he just count the people? So you see from there that you're not allowed to count people even for a dvar mitzvah. So and that's why even by the pious, when they were determining which kohen would do the avodah, they didn't count the kohanim themselves, even though the minyan was obviously the tzaruch dvar mitzvah. They only counted their fingers and not the people. Sfasemis points out that even though they didn't count them, l'chori you could have said that's not called counting people. Meaning when it comes to Shaul, he wanted to know how many soldiers he had. He was counting people. He's actually counting Jews. He was gonna at the end of the day, you'd ask him how many people are there. He'd be able to tell you a number. If you ask the Kohen, who the Mamuna, who did the pious, how many Kohanim were there in that circle? He might have no idea. He just looked around the circle, saw, let's say it was about 30. So he said 172, and then he just did a count until he got to the number 172. He still has no idea. Was it 28 people? Was it 32 people? He never. He would have no idea. I mean, so they're not actually counting people. But even so, associating numbers with people in sequence, that apparently is included in the Isser of counting people. Now, why is counting fingers any different than counting people? People have fingers, so you're counting parts of people. So why is that any different? So the Abar Benel writes in Sefer Shmos that there were choshesh, chamur choshesh for hezek that comes all day ayin hara. Ayin hara is only when you look at a person's face. So if you aren't looking at the person's face, you're only looking at their fingers, and it's not going to lead to ayin hara. The Klei Chemda says that the etzba is a chelik of the guf, but the Torah says lo sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. So as long as the counting does not involve rosh b'nei Yisrael, it only involves some other part of the body, so then it's going to be mutter to do. Okay, maskev l'ravashi, my dai bezek lishon demivzaku. How do you know that the lashon of bezek means a broken piece of pottery? V'dilma shmad demasu. Maybe it's just the name of the place, and we do find that there is a place called bezek. Because the pasuk says by the Muhammad that Shevet Yehuda fought with the Kanani al Pi Hashem after Yeshua's death and Sefer Shoftim veyimtzu es Adoni Bezek in Bezek and veyilachemu bo. He's called Adoni Bezek. He was in Bezek because of the name of a place. So how do you know that Shaul didn't count the people directly? Maybe he just happened to count them in a place called Bezek. Ela mehacha veyishma Shaul es ha'am veyivkedem betloim. No, it's a different pasuk by the Muhammad Shaul ba'am Malik and Sefer Shmuel Aleph that Shaul gathered together the people to go to war, and he counted them by taking a tle, a sheep for each one of them and he counted the sheep instead of counting the people. So Rav Lezer Kolomonis Shaul over Blav. Anyone who counts the Jewish people is in violation of a los hasei in the Torah. Shneemar b'hayam ispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam asher lo yimad. Lo yimad means it's usher to do so. Now the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is that it's a nevuah for Achra Sayyamim, that Bnei Yisrael are going to be so great in number that it's not going to be possible to count them. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Rav Lezer darshens it, however, for the isser of counting the Jewish people. So the Eitz Yosef says, according to that, the explanation of the pasuk is that the number of the Jewish people is going to be so plentiful, and b'mitzius though would be possible to count them. It's just would be usher to count them. You would want to because there's so many, but it's going to be usher to do that because asher lo yimad, because it is. because there's an isser that you're not allowed to do. Now, where is this pasuk? This pasuk is in Hosea. It's a pasuk min divrei Kabbalah. It's not a pasuk min haTorah. So that's what Rabbi Avram and Ahar points out, that it would not be an isser daraisa if this is the real source. And the reason Rabbi Elazar doesn't just quote the pasuk in the Torah, v'samti asarach k'chol hayam, asher lo yisafer meirov, which is also lo yisafer, describing that they shouldn't be counted, even though it says the word lo yisafer, because lo yisafer meirov means that it's going to be too many to count. Whereas over here, it's possible. It doesn't mean it's going to be too many to count. It means that it's possible to count them, but you're not allowed to. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar over b'shnei lavin, shnemar lo yimad v'lo yisafer, that it's two lavin, lo yimad elo yisafer. Amar shomar napani Rabbi Yonasan Rami. Rabbi Yonasan asked the following stira. Ksiv, on the one hand, the pasuk says v'yimispar b'nei sol k'chol hayam, that we're going to be like the sand of the sea. Uksiv asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer, that it's uncountable, that it's impossible to count. So which is it? Is it like the sand of the sea, which is finite? It's a big number, but it's finite. Or is it infinite? So lo kasha. Kan bizman sheyisrael osim ritzon shlomakom. Kan bizman she'ein yisrael. That we don't say any soul osim ritzon shlomakom, probably because not to be a kitruk. So we don't mention who's not osim ritzon shlomakom, even though it's obvious who we're talking about. So when Yisrael is osim ritzon shlomakom, then the pashut reading of the Gemara, when Yisrael is osim ritzon shlomakom, then there are going to be so many in number they're going to be impossible to count. When they're not osim ritzon shlomakom, they're not going to be blessed with large families, and they're not going to be blessed with population growth, and then it will be possible to count them. The Eitz Yosef, however, suggests that maybe means something else, that we do find in a number of places of Chazal that tzaddikim are shkulim be'echlus k'neged many other people, meaning because of the high quality of certain people, that they count as many other people. Like we find in Shira Shirim Rabbah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shakul k'neged shishim ribo shal Yisrael, that the one man is shakul k'neged shishim ribo shal Yisrael. That's why ba'avon adar tzaddikim are mason, ba'avon adar tzaddikim are taken from us when the generation sins, and that's it's because of HaKadosh Baruch were to take the proper number of people, it would be a lot of people. So he goes and he's malakit his shoshanim, he takes his most precious, and they're taken as representatives of the rest of the generation. So Rabbi Amar Mishum Abi Yossi ben Dustai lo kasha, that another possible answer can be de Adam, can be de Shemayim, that it depends if it's the beginning of the pasuk is talking about the end of the pasuk is talking about Bidei Adam, that you're not able to count them, people aren't able to count them. The beginning of the pasuk that they are able to be counted, that they're like the sand, that's Bidei Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to count them. Amar Avnei Yilai Bar Idi, Amar Shmuel, Kivin Shenismana Adam Parnasan Al Tzibur Mis Asher. When a person becomes, he's appointed to a position of authority over the Tzibur, he becomes wealthy. Meikara, how do I know that? Because Meikara, originally in the first counting before the Melchama with Nachash Amoni, Sholam El has to count the people. So what's he going to do? Pottery, shards of pottery. Shards of pottery you can find anywhere. You go and dig for a day in Israel and you find shards of pottery. They're everywhere. Shards of pottery. But in the end, when he's fighting with Melchamas HaMalek, which was after he was he was already Melech over Kol Yisrael, so now he's Mamuna Parnes al Tzibur. Now he can afford enough sheep corresponding to all the Jewish people. So V'dilma Miditu, maybe he collected sheep from them. Maybe it was their sheep. He wasn't providing the sheep. Maybe it was their own sheep. Says when came Rabusa de Milsa. Then we wouldn't have highlighted it because there's no chiddush over there. The chiddush that he used sheep was that it was his own sheep because he was wealthy enough to be able to do that to count the Bnei Yisrael. So once we mention Melchamas HaMalek, the Gemara brings a drasha about the Melchamas HaMalek. And Sefer Shmuel, we're told that when Shaul was going to go fight the war with HaMalek based on Hashem's command to do so. So Vayorev Banachal. What does it mean Vayorev Banachal? So Amr Rabbi Mani explains that it's Kaviyachol that Shaul had a fight with an argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu al iske nachal, and his argument had to do with Egla Arufa, which is done by a nachal. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shaul, Lechvi ki says Amalek, I want you to go and I want you to strike Amalek. Amar uman nefesh achas amra Torah havei Egla Arufa, for one nefesh the Torah says havei Egla Arufa, you have to bring a kapara of Negla Rufa. So Kala Nefashos Halala Lachs Kamav Kama. All of these Nefashos that I'm going to need so much Kapara, that I'm going to take so much life. V'imadam Chata Behema Ma Chata. And even if people did an Avera, what do the animals do? Why do we have to destroy the animals? V'im Gedolim Chata Ketana Ma Chatu. And if the adults did Averas, what do the children do? Why do we have to kill them? So Yatza Baskel V'yamrlo Alti Tzadikar Be'el. Baskel came out and said, stop being such a tzaddik. And not only that, but we find that the opposite happened, that he didn't want to take Rachmanus when he should have taken Rachmanus. Ubishar Shamal Shal Ledoeg, Sovatop, Gabba Kohanim, when it came to Novir Kohanim, Shal instructs the Doeg to be Pogay and all the Kohanim, to kill all the Kohanim of Novir Kohanim, because he accepted Doeg's Lashon Hara, that they were harboring a fugitive, that they were keeping David, and they were protecting David knowingly, even though they weren't doing it knowingly. They had no idea that David was on the run and that Shaul was after him, and he killed out all of the city of Novi Arakonim. Yatza Baskel Amrlo Altir Shaharbe. The Baskel came out and said Altir Shaharbe Kiilu, to say, where's all your Rachmanus now? Your Rachmanus is only reserved for Amalek and not for a city full of Kohanim. It happens to be that from Tehillim, you see, and even from the Navi itself, but from Tilim even more so, you see that David felt guilty about Novi Arakonim. David thought that was his fault, because even though really Shaul was the one to blame, Shaul was the one that actually instructed to have them all killed out. And Perek Nun Beis of Tehillim, that's an easy way to remember, it's Perek Nov of Tehillim, David HaMelech talks about how guilty he feels about the death of all of those Kohanim on his account. Now, the Achronim raised the question that Shaul was told about killing Amalek, and the Baskel said, Alti Tzadikarbe. So, and what did he do? He still ended up not killing the animals, right? He still ended up not doing what he was supposed to do. So, but the Baskel told him to do it, meaning you had the argument, you lost. The Baskel came out and said, Alti Tzadikarbe. So, some of the Acharon, the Nachal Shuruk says that Shaul may be held like the Shitas Rabbi Yeshua and Yavamis Yudalid, that ain't Mashkichin Bebaskel. That it's a machlokas, whether we pay attention to Baskel. So, he paskin ain't Mashkichin Bebaskel. So, he thought that he didn't have to listen to the Baskel. Sfasema says that you have to say that Shaul must have not heard the Baskel. Sometimes a Baskel is not it's not a natural voice. So not everyone is zocha to hear the Baskel. Remember when my Chavrus and Rabbi Rasner made Aliyah, so we told the story of the Gemara in Tainus of Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, that one of them heard that Rabbi Yochanan heard the Baskel. They were both about to leave Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yochanan heard a Baskel that gave him the impression that it was a very bad idea to leave the Yeshiva. And Ilfa didn't hear the Baskel, and Ilfa continued to go. So Rabbi Razu said that, he heard the voices that calling him back to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm like, I'm Ilfa. I'm like that. What does that mean? But, okay, so when Shaul said to, and that's what the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that someone who's a Merachim, an Achzarim, is ultimately going to be an Achzari when he should have had Rachmanus. And that's what happened over here with Shaul. So I'm Rav Huna, Kamalu Chali V'lo Margish, Gavr Demari Siyai. How a person does not have to worry from any evil when you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on your side, when you know that you're Matzah Chayin Lefnei Hashem. Shaul Ba'achas Va'olsalo, because Shaul did one Avera and that's it, he loses the Malchus. David B'shtayim Va'olsalo, David did two things wrong and he did not lose the Malchus. Shaul Ba'achas Ma'hi, what was the one thing that Shaul did? Ma'isad Agag, it was the story he didn't kill Agag, the king of Amalek. Ve'ika Ma'isad Novir HaKohanim, that's the only thing Shaul did wrong. What about Novir HaKohanim? He killed the whole city of Kohanim. Ma'isad Agag Siv. No, Ma'aseh Agag happened first, and already then Shaul lost the kingdom. So it's true he did something else, but that was after he had already lost it. David b'shtayim ma'nihu. What are the two averos that David did? Number one is du'uriah, that he sent out Uriah knowing that he would get killed, in order that he should get killed. Udasasa, and at the end of the day, at the end of his days, he counted the Jewish people. Ve'yikanami says in Gemara Ma'aseh Basheva. What about the story of David and Basheva? Was that not another avera? No, hasu miparu minei. By the Ma'aseh Basheva, he got punished. He made him paskin on himself with the story of Basheva, and he said that he should have to pay fourfold for the sheep, right? He gave Nasan Navi, gave the mashal of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man has only one little shepsel, and the rich man takes that one little sheep that the poor man has. So David HaMelech paskins Ben Mavi. Avas Hu. He's Chayiv Misa. And then he said, so what should he do? He should pay four times back. So David HaMelech lost Yeled, the child from Bathsheba, Amnon, his son Amnon, Tamar. He had the terrible story that happened with Tamar was Ne'enas, and Avshalom, and he lost Avshalom. So he paid back four times over. So says Gemara, Hasam Nami Yiparuminei, by the Maisa of Hasasa, he was with the counting of the Jewish people, he was also paid back. Tichsiv Eitin Hashem Dover Dever BeYisrael Me'aboker Va'ad Eis Moed. So says Gemara, no, Hasam Lo Yiparumigufe, but it didn't affect him physically. Hasam Nami Lo Yiparumigufe. Says Gemara, yeah, but by losing the four children, the three children plus the one that was Nanas, it also wasn't something that physically harmed him. So Lai Yiparumigufe. Dam Rav Yidom Rav Shishah Chadash from Nitzar David Ufarshim Menas Sanhedrin Menestakim Menashchina Dichsiv Yeshuv LeYireyach V'Yodei Adosecha Uksiv Hashiv LeYisasun Yishecha, that he did actually physically suffer because he became a mitzora for 6 months, which was a terrible suffering that he went through. And that was for counting the Jewish people. V'Amar Rav Kibul David Loshen Hara. But what about another avera that David did? That when Siva told David that Mephibosheth was rebelling against him, he totally accepted it. So he's Mekabel Loshen Hara. Says Mark Shmuel. V'Amar Lo Kibul David Loshen Hara. No, we're assuming like Shmuel that he was not actually Mekabel Loshen Hara. The only reason he accepted it was because he saw something that indicated that it was true, that Mephibosheth came to him without getting a haircut and without cleaning his clothing. So David thought that that he was upset that David HaMelech went back to the palace and became the king again. So he saw Dvarim HaNikarim. He saw something about Mephibosheth that indicated that he was that he was upset with David being king and that he was rebelling against him. And according to Rav, that David was Mekabel Lashon Hara, he got paid back for that sin. When David said to Mephibosheth, that I said you and Siva should split the Sada, that Rechavim and Yeravim would split the Malchus, Mida Keneged Mida. So David lost to Mephibosheth his Nachla. So that's why he lost the Nachla of the Malchus. So it turns out that David was paid back for that sin, and that's why it's not one of the two sins that we mentioned when we said that Shol Ba'achas, David B'Shtayim V'lo Olsolo, that nothing bad happened to David, even though he did Shtayim. What about these Averos? These other Averos he did get punished for separately, but there were two Averos for which he did not lose the Malchus, and that's what we're highlighting, that because he had Chayin Be'inei Hashem, he didn't lose the Malchus on account of those Averos. Okay, we'll stop here, but we'll pick up with Ben Shana Shol B'Molcho tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.